welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll look back at the two opening League Cup group matches against Hearts and Inverness, preview the upcoming clash at home with Cove Rangers, and we'll hear from Andy McDonald and Lyle Cameron. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
I'm alright, yes. Busy week again?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. It's fine weather as well, so can't I complain?
The weather's turning fine, which is good. Summer starting again. Football's back as well, so it's good to have the combination back again.
Yeah, the old talk of summer football could maybe raise its head once again.
Oh no, that's another issue. Talking of issues, we'll fly in straight away. It's not really a Peterhead issue as such, but it's the old Colts thing. Reared its head again. I was going to say ugly head there again, but I just thought I'd say head. The vote this week voted it down for reconstruction and adding the old firm Colts or B team, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah,
I think you and I are on the same page with this. But what's your kind of thoughts on this overall?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I think there's quite a lot of people up and down the country that have voiced their opinion on it. For me, it shouldn't really be a starter, to be honest. It should just be, that should now be the nail in the coffin, so to speak, and hopefully it doesn't come around again next year. I've just got that sneaky suspicion in the back of my head that come March, April next year, it might just reappear, and it could be a saga that goes on for a few years until they eventually get in. In my opinion, it should just be left as it is now, and you know, everybody moves forward.
Well, we know that they're going to be in the Lowland League for what is supposed to be a one season only deal.
Yeah.
However, that could possibly change as these things kind of seem to happen. There seems to be a want and a need for them to be shoehorned in, but I just don't get the reasons as to how it would benefit us, as in, you know, Peterhead fans or lower league fans or the clubs of those lower leagues.
I'm a bit skeptical as well that it's a one season only. I think it's one of them situations now that they've got their foot in the door, so to speak, that it could be something that grows arms and legs. Again, like you, I don't see how it benefits us as a club, as fans as well. So, whilst I think we've heard the last of it for now, I generally think it'll probably be something that comes around again next summer. But, you know, whether people's opinions and clubs and the owners change their opinion then, you know, remains to be seen.
It does also mean there'll be no reconstruction. Reconstruction, again, is off the table. What did you make of the potential of having four 12-team divisions?
I think, yeah, I can see the reason for it. I think the league reconstruction should have been done last summer. You know, we spoke about it a few episodes in the podcast about that we thought, and I think that was the time for it to happen. I think anything now, you're shoehorning in clubs to try and make it work. I don't think it will. I think reconstruction should have been done last year.
I think on the back of what happened with the League One and League Two, with the split, I think that was perhaps came into the heads that a lot of people actually liked that kind of idea, and then maybe wanted to kind of continue it through the other divisions as well. Maybe that's where that's come from. But I do like the idea of adding more teams to the league overall.
Yeah, I think we spoke about it. It was more so in the top flight. If you had a cup game and it went to a replay, you could potentially play the same club eight times in one season. Now, whilst as fans you enjoy your watching your team play, but if it was, with all due respect, Aberdeen versus St Mirren for eight games a season, would you still have the same appeal to go to the game at the eighth time as you did the first game of the season? So I think the league just need more teams. I think the Premiership needs to be expanded and therefore subsequently down the leagues, but it's got to benefit all clubs and not shoehorning clubs to make it work.
The argument that you seem to get from a lot of the Old Firm fans is that they will basically be a cash cow for these lower league teams, bringing massive crowds to the away games. It doesn't work with the Challenge Cup. I think having them in the Challenge Cup anyway is just a non-event. I think it degrades the trophy anyway. So I don't see how they can argue that they're going to bring massive crowds to these games.
I don't have facts and stats to hand. I haven't looked into it, but I kind of imagine that Peterhead versus Rangers Colts or Celtic Colts on a Tuesday night at Ballymore in the soaking rain would attract a big bumper crowd. There's maybe a need for it in the Central Belt, you know, with clubs of close proximity, you maybe get a bigger crowd. But, you know, anything north of Dundee, I kind of see the cult teams bringing up a so-called big fan base. So, yeah, hopefully that's the end of it for you know, for good. But like I said, I think this could read its head every season or so until they do get in.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's one of those things where they'll argue for it until they get what they want, or indeed is what some of them might think as they, you know, move down south. But again, that's another issue. So on to All Matters Peterhead then. Before we get to the two games on Tuesday, Peterhead announced the signing of Jardel Mushanu. I hope I'm getting that right, who joined on Tuesday. Defender who had been playing in the pre-season games as a trialist, can play as a holding midfielder or, as I said, in centre-half. So it's good, again, that we've got more numbers and it's another young player.
Yeah, we spoke about it last week. It seems to be the route that Jim's going down just now. I think he's been trying to do it for a couple of seasons, but one thing or another, you do need experience in your team. So, yeah, by all accounts, played well in the pre-season friendlies. Coming in as a trialist, versatile as well. You mentioned there, can play in a couple of positions. Defenders is a position that we've thought we're needing bodies in. So yeah, ticks all the boxes. I'm sure if Jim's got him on board, then you know, he's at a good sign, and hopefully that'll be the case throughout the season.
18-year-old, 6'2", so he's going to be a big lad to try and get past. But I've seen there's a few clips of him on YouTube as well. So and he seems to be quite happy with the ball at his feet, which a lot of these younger kind of even defenders like to do anyway.
Yeah, it seems to be the modern game, is it? You say maybe 10, 15 years ago, your defender was there to, you know, clear it into row Z or give it to the technical player. But defenders nowadays, they seem to be quite happy with the ball at their feet. So yeah, I think if he's there and you've got likes of Mulligan and Brown and McDonald, yeah, I think defence is starting to shape up pretty well now.
And he's come through the Man City development squad as well, so they obviously know a player. They'll obviously be taught him a lot of good habits as well. So hopefully, you know, in the near future, we can see how those talents and those kind of attributes he's picked up transfers onto the Scottish game.
Yeah, as you said, playing at Man City, although it's a youth team and everything, you know, you're around superstars, and you know, well, I've seen videos and everything about what they do. So hopefully, he brings that sort of level to Peterhead.
Right, so on to Saturday's game then. Start of the season, always a good game to get going with. The first one at home against Hearts. Ordinarily, would have been a game that you would have probably expected about 2,500 to be packed at the Balmer, but sadly that wasn't the case. However, there was fans, and it was good to hear that kind of just that little kind of noise as you get now and again from the crowd.
Yeah, it was really good. Turned up on Saturday. You know, normally you turn up, there's only a couple of cars in the car park, and it's almost quite eerie at times, you know, on a Saturday. But no, it was good to see people in around the club. You know, people coming out the bar as well and going in. There was a buzz. Although it was only 246, it certainly seemed that there was a lot more people there. So as you said, it was really good just to get fans back in the stadium.
And it's nice to hear that noise in the far end when the flag goes up for an offside, and the East Stand obviously quite disagree with it, and everybody's like, it's the little things like that you speak your miss.
Yeah, it's nice to see that we haven't changed as fans, because Don Robertson gave a free kick that Peterhead didn't agree with, and you know, you heard the fans, so it's good to have them back.
Don Robertson giving away a free kick that nobody agreed with. That's an understatement for the season. So, obviously, before the game, we knew that Scott Brown and Jason Brown were going to be out. So, two players that were probably been on the first names on the team sheet. So, it was always going to be tough. The team selection was probably pretty much what we'd expected otherwise.
Yeah, there was no real surprise. I think maybe the only slight surprise would have been maybe Andy McCarthy starting. I know he picked up a knock against Watford the week before. So, it was a sort of depleted squad. Wasn't much guys on the bench either. But, as you said, it was probably the team that we'd expected given the suspensions.
Mulligan slotted into centre-half alongside Andy McDonald, which may be a bit of a surprise to some, knowing that if coming from Dundee as a midfielder, but has been playing there during the pre-season. So again, it's one of those players who's like maybe Kieran Freeman last season, can play in a number of positions, or will be asked to play in a number of positions.
Yeah, I think midfield, centre back, and right back would be the three that he's maybe going to try and rotate him through. But what he did do on Saturday, I thought he did well. Okay, maybe clouded with the goal, but I think overall his play, considering it's a Hearts team, a good Hearts team, I thought they gave a good account of themselves.
First 20 minutes, I think we pretty much matched them. I think the Hearts didn't really do much in terms of getting shots away and getting or troubling Lenny Wilson in goal. But I think for that first 20 minutes spell, we pretty much matched them and did well to keep them at bay.
Yeah, I think off the top of my head, I think the only chance I had was it was in Boyce after 2 minutes. Just fired it wide at Lenny Wilson's goals. But other than that, as you said, I thought we did well. We said we're still out nice and early how we were going to play. And sort of grew into the game, you know, Hearts did as well. But no, like you, the first 20 minutes I thought were really good.
And then after that, I think you could obviously tell that Hearts' experience and class maybe just started to tell a little bit. They weren't really, you know, pushing us too much, but you could tell that players like Boyce and Gary McKay's team were just coming into the game a little bit more, and they were just kind of getting building their confidence. And you just felt that round about the time of the goal that there was something coming.
Yeah, they started knocking on the door a wee bit, and as you say, once the likes of Boyce and McKay Stephen get into the game, especially with McKay Stephen's pace, it was always an out ball. They'd feel the Hearts went from back to front pretty quick, even quite early on the game. I think the wingers was the focal point that they were going to go down. But even the first 20 minutes, Hearts looked a frustrated side. I know that's a bit weird to say, but you know, their centre-halves, they were going back to front a lot quicker than what I thought they would. I think I mentioned on Saturday, I thought it would be a tactic that maybe deploy later on in the game, so I was a bit of a surprise to see them going to early rather than trying to pass it through midfield. But again, that's credit to be ahead, the centre stall out. But as you said, once the guys got in their rhythm in the game, Hearts started to cause a lot of problems that last 15 minutes of the first half.
And just before McKay Stephen got the goal, there was at least, I think, two occasions that he did get into that kind of areas where he did score. I think one occasion he went down looking for a penalty. It was pretty soft. The other occasion, I think he got past in that kind of position, and I think Lenny Wilson made a save. So again, as I said earlier, you just kind of felt though that was where Hearts were going to, if they were going to get anything, that was the side that they were going to get it from.
Yeah, I think just before the goal went in, you said in your commentary that Hearts were looking dangerous with McKay Stephen on the left, and then within about 2 minutes, McKay Stephen scored. He's just gone ahead of a mulligan, but as you said, he tried it two or three times. One was a save, one he's gone down the box, you know, looking for a penalty kick that the referee wasn't having any of it, and then the third time he's gotten away and slotted under Lenny Wilson. So the warning signs were there. We just weren't quick enough to deal with it, I should say.
And to be fair to Hearts, I mean, if you're looking at your team lineup, you've got Danny Stark and then playing at right back, and you've also got Josh Mulligan, who's the right centre half, who isn't a centre half. You'd be pretty much saying, right, let's get as many balls down that left hand side as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got the experience of McKay Stephen against the young, inexperienced Danny Stark and Josh Mulligan. I think it was a no-brainer, really, that Peterhead were going to try and come down that side. But even the first 10 minutes, the other side, I thought Conroy, maybe positional-wise, was caught out two or three times until he just sort of got into the game. So, yeah, their wingers caused us a lot of problems, I felt.
Second half, there were a couple of changes to the formation, I should say. Jim went 4-4-2, decided to give it a go, which I guess in a League Cup situation, in a group stage, you might as well go for it. Simon Ferris slipped into centre half. Josh Mulligan then came across the left. Nia Payne went up front with Russell McLean. So, but at that kind of early 5-10 minute spell, you did feel as though that there was potentially something there, and with Naya's running ability off of McLean, we did cause them a bit of problem.
Yeah, first half when it was just Russell McLean up front, he came deep quite a lot of times, and he did well with his hold up play and winning free kicks, but three kicks on a halfway line that isn't really going to do much because Hearts are a big side. So it's sort of pointless, you know, lumping balls into the box for them just to win. So when he went with McLean and Payne up front, I did think it was a good gamble. As you said, in a cup game, you've nothing really to lose because no matter whether you get 1-0 or 4-0, you still lost. So yeah, it was good to see. But you know, the quality of Hearts and their defence, they didn't really use much of our stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, and then Boyce's goal early on in that second half really killed off the game. A mistake again from Mulligan. I think he's possibly at fault for it, the first one as well. But rather don't know if he was caught napping or what he was doing. It was just a simple ball over the top. Before you knew it, Hearts had got the ball in the net.
It's strange because you said there he's been at fault at both goals, which I agree he was, but I still don't think he had that bad a game, to be honest. Which is a strange comment considering he's at fault for both goals. But as you said, slightly out of position for the second. And Michael Smith, who that second half seemed to cause his problems the whole second half. He was up and down that wing. It was unreal the amount of work and effort he put in. And he's just caught us out, and it's a good ball across the boys, and he's never going to miss for less than 6 yards out. We didn't stand a chance with keeping that one out.
Yeah, Michael Smith has been one of those players who's vastly experienced and knows how to work the game, knows how to manage a game as well. And he's just, as you said, he just seemed to run up and do that to the right-hand side all day and could have probably done it for another 90 minutes if he was asked to.
Yeah, he was really good. Any time there was an overload on the opposite flank, he was always a spare man and they were near side in the second half. And he had acres of room, but he's worked great when he either delivered a ball or played a pass. He didn't just stop, he either followed the run in on the overlap or he was tracking back if Peterhead broke. So that was impressive, Michael Smith. He's really good on Saturday.
And the game after that, really, it pretty much petered out, didn't it? There was not much else. Hearts didn't really get to a second gear because they really didn't need to. And at the other end, it was. I wouldn't say it was toothless, but you just knew that Hearts had enough to deal with everything that we had going forward.
Yeah, at 1-0 in the game, you always felt, whilst it is 1-0, a set piece or a half chance, we could maybe get something. As you said, once the second goal went in, Hearts didn't need to get out of second gear. We didn't work them enough. But we've got to remember the Golfing Class. It wasn't a weakened Hearts team. It was experienced international players, guys that played at top level in Scotland. So it's no embarrassment to lose 2-0. The maybe frustrating thing from Peterhead point of view is maybe didn't create a much or enough effort on goal. But again, looking at the quality we're up against, it was always going to be a tough afternoon.
I just want to get your thoughts on Russell McLean's performance, his first game back, obviously, since signing from Montrose. He said in last week's audio that he felt he's coming back as a better player. I thought he was good. As you said, he was kind of up there on his own quite a bit too much. It was maybe the players around a bit were too deep, too 10, 12 yards away from him when they should have been a wee bit closer. But what he was being asked to do, I think he did pretty well.
Yeah, a difficult game for your first game. As I said, the quality of Hearts. But I thought what he did do, he did well. He's coming deep. And if you're coming deep, you're either trying to hold the ball up or you're trying to win your team a free kick. And I think the vast amount of times he did, even in the second half, he won a few headers against Souter. So, it bodes well. You're not going to come up against the quality of Hearts' team every week in League One. So, I think he can be pleased with his performance. As you said, the guys on the boot are maybe 10, 12 yards too deep. But, that's something maybe as the course of the season goes, the guys will get used to how Russell McLean plays. Because last season, I don't think we had that player that would come deep, hold the ball up and win free kicks. With all respect, that's not Ben Armour's game when he was playing. So we've got a different focal point up top now, but I thought, overall, Russell did well.
And we didn't expect much from Isaac Lane either, so he was definitely not going to be doing that.
That would involve a fair bit of movement, I would think, which we didn't really see much of from Isaac.
I thought Rusty was aggressive, but without being overly, if you say aggressive, you think he's maybe throwing arms and things like that. But he was strong. He was holding up some of the Hearts of it, and the Hearts team were pretty big anyway. He showed a lot of muscle and, as I said, aggression to win a lot of those headers.
Yeah, he kept Souter and Hawker on their toes. There was a few times that they're appealing the referee for little niggles. And as a lone striker, you're just trying to ruffle a few feathers early on in the game. And I thought Russell did that well without, as you said, being overly aggressive. So, I think for his first game back, he's done well.
Right, so we're going to hear from a couple of players, as I said. So, first of all, we're going to hear from Lyle Cameron.
Welcome back. Good to be playing football again.
Yeah, delighted to be back playing. I've not played since just before Christmas, so it's been a long time, and you can tell it's hard when you come back from playing not so long. But, I enjoyed it, so glad to be back.
guess the options in pre-season, this would have been the best one for you, was it?
Definitely, it's great to get us up to speed and hard to mean, yeah.
Aye, for you personally, for going elsewhere, or did you
No, I was happy to come back here, because I knew all the boys, I knew the manager would hopefully give me game time, and obviously shoved me right in, so I was delighted to be playing, and just happy that he's put the trust in me to go out there and play again, so...
It was an element today that you probably weren't to get anything out of it, but how good an exercise was it overall just to get fitness and things like that?
It's brilliant. This gets us ready for going into the real league, what matters to us, really, what we can hopefully push for top four, eh? So, it's big for that, and it was a great test. They were a good team, obviously, great movement and stuff, and a lot of fitness. So.
They've had a lot of experience throughout their squad. You can see that even the substitutes that they were bringing on guys like Andy Halliday. So, for you guys, it must be good to, at a young age, to be playing against these top kind of players.
Yeah, it's a great experience for me as well. Obviously, I can watch them, like some of their players, and learn off them because they're dribbling past our players and stuff. So, it's good for me to watch them and learn off them and play against them, really helps me a lot.
You're playing wide right majority of the game today. Is that somewhere that you're going to be playing most of the season, or do you think you'll be playing more at number 10 role?
I prefer number 10 role, but I'm getting used to the right more. But I think I'll play majority of the right, and number 10 don't play that anymore, really. So, I don't mind that. As long as I can get on the ball, I'm happy.
It's a good young squad as well that he's got. Obviously, the three guys from Dundee, so you're all going to get game time. So this entire season looks to be exciting for us as fans. You know, we've got players like yourself, Hamish Ritchie. How good is it to be playing a squad like that?
It's good. We're a good team. We'll try and play good football. So hopefully when we play teams at our level, we can do that and dominate most of the ball like today. But it's great. Everyone wants to play, and that's what I want to do. There's no lumping on the pitch kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's good.
Right, up with Lyle Carmen. So next we're going to hear from Andy McDonald.
So hard game, obviously. That's a really good side, Premiership. They can't be pushing towards the top of the Premiership, so turned out you're expecting a hard game. Expecting to dominate the ball in that. I felt first half, without Hutton's too much, I think we've done alright. We kind of kept the ball and knocked it about, but I didn't feel that it threatened us a lot. Second half was a bit different. I think the boys been out of position and we're moving as good as it. We're a top Premiership side, so we expect that, and we obviously get caught out a few times, but a good learning curve for especially such a young team here.
If you're playing against guys like Liam Boyce, bags of experience, does that help you in your development playing against these kind of top players?
Yeah, I think it only can only kind of help me improve and make me learn things in the game, obviously. I'm still relatively young, I'm only 22, so I've still got a lot to learn, I think. Going against good players, and I think you're going to get any better. So, definitely.
Was it a disappointing thing overall about the game that you didn't really make Craig Gordon have a save at all?
It is disappointing, but at the same time, I think when they dominate the ball so much, and we're chasing so hard, and I felt the boys worked really hard today, like the midfielders were kind of overrunning it, and I felt like we matched them up to a certain point. Then becomes hard when you get the ball, so that's maybe something we need to improve on. So once we do get it back and we're tired, we use it better. I think there's sometimes we get to the final third and in the last half, maybe just let us down. So I think there's definitely room for improvement. But
yeah. There's certainly an element, especially the first half, as you said, that we had a lot of the ball and there was good passes of play, what a quick passing triangles and things like that we mentioned during the commentary. So there's a base there of a potentially a good you know, balance of, you know, tackling play, but as you said, you just need to find
that. Yeah, definitely. I think we've got a good, as you say, a good base to build off. Kind of kept majority of players for last year. I think towards the end of last season we started to see some like good wee phases of play going forward and things like that. So I think building on this season, we just need to kind of look to improve and then get the goals to come with the phases of play as well.
And you're obviously back from a short spell last season. Was it a no-brainer for you to come back again for this season?
Yeah, so I was only here for January a lot, and I really enjoyed my time here. So for me, I was happy to get it signed as soon as possible. For this, it's quite moving, and I was happy.
So, Martin, what did you think of the Lyle Cameron on his return?
Yeah, good. As I expected. Well, I was just really disappointed we didn't get him back for Dundee. Obviously, that was with Peterhead's hands, it was Dundee and James McPhee that decided to keep him. And, you know, he said himself he was slightly frustrated that he didn't get as much time at Dundee as he'd have liked. So the opportunity to come back to Peterhead arose, and, you know, he's happy to come back. And I think we've got a really good player with Lyle Cameron. I am looking forward to seeing him, along with Hamish Ritchie, linking up, because You know, I really do think we've got two fantastic players there that probably will play at a higher level.
Yeah, and Andy said in his audio as well that the disappointing thing overall for the Hearts game was the fact that we'd never troubled Craig Gordon. I think he could have got a lie out and still would have been okay with a clean sheet. But that is disappointing that you're not making the away keeper work at all.
Yeah, I get Andy's frustration. It would have been good to get a couple of efforts and goals, but I think when we laid the facts on the table, the Premiership club against the part-time League One club, and it was both teams' first game, new signings and whatnot. And as I said, Hearts had a really strong squad with quite a lot of international players in it. So whilst it's disappointing the home team not getting shots on target, I don't think we can be too disappointed with the way we've played or the result.
And I think it probably would have been drilled into the Hearts players as well not to slip up, not to kind of start the season off on the wrong foot, especially after getting promotion. They would have been disciplined, they would have known what to do, and I think that's exactly what they've done. They've gone about their job, a professional job, and they've gone away with a 2-0 win.
Yeah, I think, you know, don't quote me on this, but I think there was a wee bit of unrest with Hearts fans in the back end of the season with Robbie Nielsen. I'm not sure whether it was they just weren't a fan of Robbie or whether it's, you know, the way they're playing football, but there was a wee bit of unrest. So I think the last thing Robbie Nielsen would have wanted to do at the start of the new season with a few players coming through the door was a loss or a slip up in any way to a part-time League One club. So, yeah, as you said, it was a professional job. It was a really strong Hearts squad that was putting out and under the watch of Aaron Budge there as well. He'd have been happy just to get the result and back down the road.
So move on to Tuesday's game then against Inverness away from home. We knew that Andy McCarthy was going to be out because of a hamstring injury. We didn't expect 7 changes to the lineup. Only Richie, McDonald, Mulligan and Conroy were left from starting on Saturday to start on Tuesday. Incredible amount of changes to the team. But I would say on the plus side, when you look at the players that did come in, it does show you the kind of quality and depth that we've now got.
Yeah, I said last week, when we look at the squad now, I don't think there's really a substitution that you make the team any weaker. And that's not disrespect to the guys last season, but you looked at the bench and maybe thought, well, how can we change the game now? As you said, the fact that there were 7 changes, you looked at the squad last night and you didn't really think, oh, you know, we could be on a height and nothing here. It was still a strong squad and with the players that came in. Slightly surprised that there were 7 changes, but I didn't expect to be a few, but I did think there would maybe just be the standard like 3 or 4 changes. But yeah, again, the squad, in my opinion, wasn't much weaker than what it was from the Hearts game.
I think we expected Scott Brown and Jason Brown to be part of it. I think they were definitely going to be starters. The rest, I think, were probably were slightly surprising. But I guess he's maybe looked at it and thought, well, after the defeat on Saturday, this is probably more of a chance just to give guys game time, get their fitness up in preparation for the Ottawa game on the 31st.
Yeah, I think we've got 4 games. To me, they're just pre-season games. I mean, it's a tough group that we've got in the Cup. You know, you've got Cove on Saturday, another tough game. But, you know, these guys, the players, have got to get minutes in their legs and, you know, gear up for, you know, the start of the season, as you said, Ottawa on the 31st. So I think the season's really gearing up for that. You know, the changes in the squad really wouldn't be a surprise. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if there's 6-7 changes again for Saturday, just trying to rotate the squad and make sure everybody's got enough minutes in the legs to prevent injuries. Last thing you want is somebody going out with a hamstring injury and be out for 3-4 weeks after the first couple of games.
And much like the Hearts game on Saturday, Inverness didn't really need to do too much to get the win. It was almost like they were, again, just going through the motions. It was their first competitive game of the season. They didn't play on Saturday. So, again, they were just kind of getting their foot into it. And by that, the first 45 minutes, by God, it was dire.
It wasn't a great watch. If you're a neutral fan tuning into that, you probably wouldn't have tuned back in for the second half, I wouldn't have thought. But if you didn't tune back in, you missed a really good goal, second goal in that game.
It just seemed to be that, as I said, we were kind of almost just kind of going through the motions. So we're in Inverness, it was a case of, well, we're just trying to keep them at bay for 45 minutes. I think Brett Long had a couple of saves in the first half that were relatively straightforward saves, and that was pretty much the extent of the action of the first half.
Yeah, it was a bit passive. It was almost like the other team were waiting for something to spring into life. If it is going to be, you're probably thinking, well, Onus is in Inverness, they're the home team, and probably Inverness is thinking at some point we'll be able to break Peterhead down for work the ball and move it along the forward areas well enough. And it was going to take something good to get the first goal in the game, and I think the way the boy hit it as early as he did, maybe he's caught Brett Long out a wee bit by surprise, but it was how he was going to take that first goal in the game, maybe just to spark it for life.
I think if you speak about the first goal, I think you look at it, it might be just a case of it's a new goalkeeper with a new defender. So they've not got that kind of relationship going yet. And I just felt like when you see the replay and you watch Jason Brown after the goal, he's almost expecting Brett to be maybe 5 yards further forward and coming out to claim that. I may be reading his body language wrong, I don't know, but I'm just thinking that maybe if that was Lenny Wilson, he maybe would have been there to clear the ball before Dooku can get there.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, actually, because we said on Saturday there was a ball through for Hearts, and it was Lenny Wilson that came out to header it, you know, just on the edge of his box, or just outside his box, which is why he couldn't catch it. So, yeah, there is maybe that understanding between Lenny Wilson and Jason Brown that's not quite there with Brett Long. But I think this is the time to iron out them sort of things in the first four games in the Betfred, or the Premier Sports Cup as it is now. You know, iron them out, and, you know, you're set for the opening campaign. But taking that away from the goal, I think it was maybe just one of the... If I was a goalkeeper in that position, I'd probably be expecting the striker to go to the right-hand side rather than to left. I think that was the only reason I would say that he'd maybe been caught by surprise a bit.
And then second goal from Doran. We can't really criticise the defending or the goalkeeper in this one. It's a great hit from a guy who's done that for many years in his career.
Yeah, a wonderful hit. If you're being hypercritical, maybe in a closing down quick enough, that would be my only nitpick with it. But again, sometimes you just got to step back and say, you know, he's pinged it in the top corner from about 25, 30 yards out. You let him have it. But yeah, from being overcritical, maybe the closing down. But
I think if you see it again, I think there's three Peterhead players in about him, and they just seem to kind of almost dare him to take the shot on. Say, on you go, have a pop, we'll see what happens, and that's what he's done, and he's failing at the corner. And again, maybe if you look at back at that, Jim will probably be disappointed and say, well, somebody should have closed them down a little bit quicker.
Yeah, and again, just go back to what I said a minute ago, these sort of things you want to iron out now, the communication with Brown and Brett Long. Again, maybe just saying to midfield, one of you has got to be more aggressive and try and win the ball or block it and not let him have a shot. Because, I mean, you won't come against that quality and often in League One, but you're almost asking for trouble by allowing them to shoot. Maybe one in ten would go in, but again, that one can be costly for you.
Yeah, and again, same as it was on Saturday, and I sound like I'm repeating myself, but once a second goal kind of goes in, it's almost, that's it, game over. You know, Inverness are quite happy just to take the possession, just pass the ball about, not really, you know, try and penetrate your defence too much. Peterhead did make a number of changes, changes that you would expect to come on, Payne come on, and McLean come on, etc. But without really causing them too much problems.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. As you say, once the second goal went in both games, there was almost that resignation to the fact, well, that's pretty much game over. Maybe the opposition will think they can maybe snatch a third, or I certainly felt that on Saturday. Hearts could have really had three or four if they wanted, but thankfully they didn't. But yeah, from our point of view, we're just a wee bit toothless up front, but I'm hoping that obviously we're not going to be playing against the quality of Hearts and Inverness on a regular basis. But just, and I think the Cove game will be more of a telling factor on how this first season might shape up rather than the Hearts and Inverness game.
Brett Long, as I said, he was in goals, he made his debut. He became the 130th player to play under Jim McAnally for Peterhead, which is quite a start. What did you make of his performance overall?
Yeah, overall not bad. You know, it's a bit like Lenny, he's conceded two goals, but you know, I don't think he had that bad a game. He's as you said, he's new into the club. It's his first competitive game with the defence. Now, I'm sure it's a defence that'll change a few times before it settles down. But as if Brett Long would be the number one, I think John would probably still debate that it could be him or Lenny. But yeah, overall, have we seen, just whilst we're waiting for the interviews on Saturday, Brett was just doing like a look at a warm down, so to speak, in the end of the game. You know, his handling looks really good. Very few times did he actually spill anything. So yeah, we've got two really good goalkeepers again this season.
It'll be interesting to see what he does with the goalkeepers. Obviously, he's still got two games left, one against Cove, one against Stirling. I would anticipate that possibly Lenny would be back in goals again on Saturday, and then Brett gets the game against Stirling. Or he might make it that Brett gets a home game and then Lenny gets the away game, just to assess who will be in goals for that first game against Alba.
I think when you look at the squad, and if there's no injuries and suspensions, I think that is probably the area that I'd be to-ing and fro-ing for the first game against Alba. If you just say, right doing your team, that's probably the position that I would sort of weigh quite a lot, and like, who would actually start as number one. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Jim and Davy Nicks was weighing that up as well with the staff and just thinking who we're going to go for, because can I really imagine Brett coming in to sit on the bench all season? But at the same time, I think Lenny has deserved to start the season as number one, given how well he did in Biddy's time when Josh was there. So, yeah, it's certainly a headache for Jim.
And as you said, it's a weird one because they've both conceded two goals in a game where they've lost 2-0, but neither of them have done anything particularly wrong. And that's just how it is sometimes.
Yeah, and then the guys are smart enough to realise that only one of them can start. But you would certainly think the one that didn't start, if a mistake was to creep into whoever is starting, so I'm going to say Lenny Wilson starts against Alloa. If he does make a mistake within the first couple of weeks, Brett Long, he'd be, you know, knocking on the door saying, well, look, I am ready to go, I can start. So I think maybe last season there was, if Josh had made a mistake, he'd maybe get the following game to try and redeem himself or rectify. You know, I know the managers will back their players, but maybe this season there will be that element throughout the team that if they're playing well or you've made a few mistakes, then there is somebody ready to take your place in the team.
So let's get into Saturday's game then against Cove, match day 3 of the League Cup. We're unlikely that we're going to get, certainly not going to get top of the group. We're unlikely to get second to get a possibility of getting through. So you're almost got a playing for third. With Hearts getting 6 points out of their two games, and Inverness have got 3 points out of their one game. And Stirling Albion getting an unlikely victory against Cove on 3 points as well. So, we touched on this earlier on, but is this kind of a game where you're almost setting a marker for the league just to kind of see where you're at?
I would think so, yeah. The first two games I would have said are almost like free hits, nobody's expecting you to get anything. And whilst I don't think many people outside the club would say Peterhead might get anything against Cove, I certainly think that you're looking for a performance and the result to sort of say, right, okay, we are ready for the new season. The players are that we've got are capable of doing it. I certainly think we've got a better squad this season than we did last season, but you're only as good as the performances and the results that you put in. So yeah, the competition for me isn't it's not worth much. We're dying, we'll go through, but I certainly think the performance in the next two games along with the results is certainly the marker for the season.
If you look at Cove and their results in the Cup as well, they've lost two as well. 3-2 to Stirling, as I said, at home, and then 3-0 on Tuesday night against Hearts away from home. So they aren't really coming into this game with any kind of confidence or form. So it's maybe a chance to kind of get that hoodoo of after last season, just to kind of, as I said, lay a marker and get something out of this game and win.
Yeah, absolutely, because I also, as you mentioned, Cove and I won any of their two games as well, so it's a good time to play them, because their confidence isn't great either. But again, you flip it on the other side, they'll think it's a game that Peterhead have lost to, and have played well, it's a game for them to come into. So I certainly think both teams will be going for the win, which should make it an entertaining game, but we just need to be careful, because if you do put in a bad performance and get a defeat, you maybe start questioning a few things. But, I'm positive going on what I've seen against Hearts and Cali. Whilst we're a wee bit toothless up front, I do think there is positives to take from the games individually.
And let's face it. I mean, Cove have gone into those two games with playing their strongest teams as well. I mean, and they're bringing in guys like Morgan Neal, Ian Vigers, and Ross Straper. I mean, that's big name players for this league as well. So they've shown their intent to try and get to try and win League One. Hasn't started off particularly well for them, but again, maybe their focus would be on the league rather than the League Cup.
Yeah, as you said, like Straper and Vigers are guys that have got many appearances in the Premiership, never mind coming to a League One club and trying to get promoted. Yeah, it almost feels like there's a mini league within League One itself. The guys at the top, you know, Queen's Park have come up and they are probably looking to go up. You've got Cove along with Falkirk. So there's a lot of good quality in the league, and as you say, Cove has got a good few players, you know, of that stature. But I certainly think we should be, you know, not worried about going into the Cove game. We've got a good squad ourselves. So, but again, but going there at Cove coming to the bottom of us laying down at a marker, so to speak.
Yeah, and talk about the team and things like that. But I would expect the team to be more like the team that it started against Hearts, obviously with Jason Brown and Scott Brown added to that. So I think it'll be. It'll be almost maybe the team that will start in the league campaign, I think.
I'd expect them to be one or two changes, but like you said, I would expect it to resemble something that he may start against Alloa. I do think he's now going to, as I said, the first two games are almost free hits, but now he's probably going to be looking at right, who will be starting against Alloa, and hopefully he doesn't pick up any injuries or anything daft.
Yeah, this is kind of, as I said, the kind of games that we're looking to, you know, focus on. This is a one to lay a marker down on as well. So, where no goals so far? So, where do you think the goals is going to come from?
I think. Do you mean overall for the season or the game against Cove?
Yeah, well, just to try and break the duck, because as we've said, we've shown nothing really going forward in the first two games. So where do you think we potentially could eye to get a goal or two in this one?
Well, I think Russell McCall, I think he will score on Saturday. I think the Lyle Khan and Hamish Ritchie, if they're starting, I'm hoping they're going to get a wee bit more freedom than what they did against Hearts. And there's a lot of defensive work to do and, you know, keeping their shape. I'm hoping on Saturday it'll be a case of letting them go and play, letting them express themselves. And being a lot closer, as I said, there's quite a gap between them and Rusty on Saturday, so I'm hoping that gap will be a lot closer. If they can create the chances, you know, put them in the box from McLean, whether it be in the deck or up in the air, then I'm confident that we'll all score on Saturday. Hopefully the Russell McLean get him off to a good start in pre-season, but, you know, I'll take a goal from anywhere, but I am confident we'll get a goal at least.
I think as well that you mentioned Hamish Ritchie there, I think he's been certainly been asked to play a slightly deeper role as well, because with the absence of Scott Brown in that first game, and then Simon Ferry obviously didn't start on Tuesday. So he's maybe been asked to play a slightly deeper role. So maybe with the fact that Scott Brown is back, and we've got like Sir Jordan Brown available, we've got Simon Ferry available, things like that. So he might just have that, as you said, a little bit of freedom to go a bit forward as well, and maybe link up with Rusty up front.
The game on Saturday Hamish didn't do nothing wrong. He did the role that he was asked to play, but I do feel that he's much better just being allowed to stay in that advanced position to annoy defenders and take them on rather than having to track back and do that sort of work. I'm not complaining, there's some reasons for it with injuries and suspensions and whatnot, but you are hoping that on Saturday he's just got that wee bit more freedom. And again, linking up with Lyle Cameron as well, I'm excited to see how these guys play, but given that freedom, go and play as well.
Yeah, so we're looking for a positive result heading into the last game against Stirling, which could be tougher than what a lot of people might expect it to be, but obviously we'll cover that in next week's one. But first of all, we've got Cove, so we're just looking for a positive result and a positive performance.
Absolutely. I think, as I said, the first two games are free hits, but I think now is the one to really try and set one marker doing. I don't mean we're going to go out and score 3-4 goals as much as we'd love it, but I do think the performance is key in this one as well. Okay, it would be great to get a 1-0 or a 2-1, whatever, but performance is to go with it and just show that the guys are ready for the new season.
And just as long as Rory McAllister does the score again, we'll be quite happy.
Yeah, we'll take that, yeah.
If he's playing, because obviously he didn't get a score number the other day, but suddenly did get a score number.
Yeah, I think there's the admin person, maybe forgot to add him onto the team sheet. But yeah, he's we're fully aware, I think, Cove are going to bring on Saturday. They're a good team. As much as we're hoping we're going to win the game, it will be tough. But when you've got players like Rory McAllister, who sometimes last season struggled to get in the starting 11, you know they've got quality.
Okay, Doc. Thanks again, Martin, for joining me. That'll be it for this week. We do hope you've enjoyed it. As always, thanks go to Martin for being here with me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all again soon.